So this is, we do consider the follow-up, typically don't record them, but because you're probably gonna end up hiring somebody, somebody new for it, we're gonna record that way they can always listen to it, some of the stuff that, just so that way they don't, you don't have to waste their time.
I'll probably end up doing it.
Okay. So I know, I did a EA almost 2 years ago from MNN took over on it.
Right.
And now the, is it Renee?
Ron.
Ron, is no longer. So I talked to, I know Lynn brought it up a couple times during our Wednesday meetings, and I've talked with Mike on it. So some partial issue that we all know, the variance of use is no longer valid, it expired.
Right.
For the Corvette Center.
Right.
At the time of the approval, all the extra housing, everything like that were either for employees or family members. So that was some of the things that were brought into that overall site plan. Kind of looking through that first and middle and some of the review comments from Lynn, were some of the, you know, clarifying what the actual structures that are in place. So one thing that I talked to Mike about, and I think this is going to be, as far as the complexity of this property and all the different issues that are involved with it, you have the acreage to be able to do it. But for right now, the key is the Corvette Center,
right,
to get that variance of use done.
Right.
So you have the over 80 acres. Anything that's over 35 acres, it's a deposit plot. You don't go through a subdivision regulations. You get a surveyor, they create the boundary, and they just go deposit it. Because it's still a legal lot. So my suggestion to you, though, on that one is the boundary with the surveyor to incorporate the 35, a minimum of 35. It can be a little over as long as whatever's remaining is still 35. But incorporating the Corvette Center in that, then you would be able to apply for the variance of use just for the Corvette Center. After that, the reason why I'm suggesting that is because you have the leftover balance. When you put a bunch of different uses and a variance of use, it makes it really difficult for you as the applicant, especially with today's board, to provide the justification of why it has to be there. And it's not, you're trying to prove why you're not circumventing the code. So oftentimes when we have a lot of different structures on there, that requires a subdivision, that whole process through it. Now there are different uses that, you know, if you're a recreation camp, things like that, they can fall into certain categories, but actual primary for you to be able to rent out to whoever, whenever you put a bunch of those on the same property with a different use and a different use, becomes really difficult on your end to provide the hardship of why, or to prove that it's not a circumvention of going through the subdivision regulations. So by doing a 40 acre track for the Corvette Center, you're isolating that use, and then we can get that going pretty quick. It's the middle on that one, they're fairly simple. A lot of the stuff that was already on there, you'd be able to reuse, but you just be, at that point in your letter of intent, you're only having to provide justification of, we just have a Corvette Center on this 40 acre tract. So when we go to the board, they're looking at just that one use. Then whenever you decide what you want to do with the remainder of the property, because it's still a legal lot. So if you're wanting to do the tiny home stuff, if you're wanting to do a RV type area, those all can be associated with that specific property, and then we can go through what the necessary requirements, whether it would be a rezone, a subdivision process, or if you just end up going, well, this is exactly what I want to move through with the variance of use just for this property. That allows you to get Corvette Center off center and done, and then you can focus maybe a year or two down the line about the remainder of the property, as long as there's not any new permits going to come in for the rest of it, like you're not going to plan, because we would have to get something done for that first because of all the different uses. But we wouldn't go out there and say, well, we can't because those houses are pre-existing. So the only time that it triggers for us is those any new permit.
Let me kind of clarify some things. Okay, the reason Ron was doing this, I had listed with his company to sell.
Okay.
He had a so-called buyer. In 2017, the buyer backed out.
Mm-hmm.
He got the buyer back on board. The buyer backed out the other day.
Oh, no.
And I was getting stories, conflicting stories. And that's the reason that Ron and his company are not listing with me anymore.
Okay.
And Bill, so he pulled out of doing this because.
Yeah, because I know.
I'm not sure what. I pretty much freaking gave up selling it. He brought me back on board to buy it, the guy to buy it. And there was just a whole lot of crap, was weird stuff.
Yeah, I know, Lynn left, and about 3 weeks after that, he sent me an email that morning, and he had been saying that he'd been trying to call the county, but I had no voicemails, no emails or anything. If he was trying to get a hold of Lynn, the line would have been dead. But we have the front counter number, because all Lynn's projects got reassigned. But that was the first email that I got, and as soon as I got it, I was like, oh, okay, yeah. We sent the request back for resubmittal back here, because everything's timestamped on his projects. So I think he did upload, but he never clicked submit. People click submit, we don't know. And if they wait 3 weeks to contact us, I have so many projects, I don't go down to them and say, oh, hey, it's been 3 weeks.
The last I heard over 2 months ago that it was all in there and it was going forward and there was no holdup on everything.
So this is
the problem. I don't know how to get in there. I'm horrible at computers.
No, that's fine. I'll just show you briefly for you, because this is the project that was created. What we have down here is timestamps of everything. Everything that happened with an entire project, as soon as the date that was created to when they submitted, so everything gets timestamped. So August 15th, 2018 was when it was created. It was triaged November 7th. First set of comments went out on the 3rd. So these are, and then they resubmitted February 19th, resubmitted April 17th, and then, so it goes through all, and then so the last one, there was one.
Was that for this?
I believe so. I'd have to go, I don't remember seeing that in there, but yeah. So the last one that went out was. So this is where I told Ron that by the time he emailed me, I told him.
I think I gotta go to airplane mode, right?
You can, or probably just put it on silent.
That
works. So that's what I was telling Ron after he sent me that email, that was the first communication I got. I said, well, the submission request was sent on the 18th of July. So if he thought he did, but he didn't click the submit button, nobody would have known. But then on the 14th of August is when my supervisor reassigned it to me. Because that's when. So I thought
we were just waiting
for.
Telling that.
Yeah, we were just waiting for the new submittal. I just know because every Wednesday we have our Wednesday planning meeting, department meeting.
The submittal for me or him?
That's what I've been waiting on for that one.
Boy.
That's why I've been literally right after that email is when I got it from Ron that he was done.
The guy that was going to buy it is Roger Guzman. He had a meeting here.
Okay.
And he's the one that's wanted to redo this half the property, put an RV park in, and put a rebuilding building
for the
tiny homes and all that stuff. My concern is I've been there 15 years. 15 years ago, whatever year it was, we got a variance for doing this, and it ran out. When Roger was going to buy this,
right,
and I was told, "Don't worry about it. He's buying it." Well,
gotcha.
I didn't worry about it, and now I'm worried about it.
Well, that's not
for, and that's what this is. All this has been
I
about.
For you.
It was done, but the biggest thing is this piece of property here is just the only thing concerned with the Corvette Center.
Mm-hmm.
The concerns that we have that came up was all these homes and everything was here. Since 1984,
85. You had an initial variance of use for it, and then there was also another one, I think it was 2007, and it did incorporate family and employee housing.
Okay.
That, but regardless
that
of that,
expired.
That's all expired.
Okay.
My thing for you, because if this is what you're primarily concerned about, definitely right now,
right,
is
if I was going to sell this again to somebody else,
mm-hmm.
I would rather divide this off.
Well, that's what I'm saying. For you right now, it would be better because, one, you still have to get that done because technically you're in violation
yeah.
of the zoning.
Yeah.
So if you get a surveyor and they do that deposit plat, I said it's not through us. I mean, the surveyor should know what a deposit plat is because as long as they put a minimum of 35 acres, then you can create your own plat. You can even, whatever, even if you wanted this building to still be in there.
Okay.
Or if you just went down this line right here and you just literally just wanted 35, the only thing they want to make sure is if they meet the setbacks from here, which you'll still clearly do, but they can create a deposit plat, and then what you'll end up in essence with is a 35 acre and the remaining balance of about 40-ish. So, yeah. So if you hire the surveyor or get these to actually create a 35 acre to where it came, if it was down there or whatever, it doesn't matter, or if it just stopped right in here, as long as it's 35 acres,
okay.
Then what you would do, you would apply for that variance of use associated with that parcel only.
Okay.
Then we would be able to get you to the board to say, okay, it's only for this parcel,
right.
And then that would stay with it because now we don't actually do, they could still do expirations, but a lot of our variances, they don't anymore. But again, that's up to the board. They may say that at such time it needs to be, or they may still, because of different things.
That was my idiot problem. And I'm trying not to interrupt. I'm just
no, you're fine. You're fine.
My idiot problem was my son was working with me at the time.
Okay.
When we did all this stuff. And the variance was for 10 years mm-hmm. or whatever it was, and it automatically extended, I was told.
Oh.
I didn't read up on it.
Oh, gotcha.
So when we had all the title work done,
mm-hmm.
the title work said that it had expired.
Oh, gotcha.
And that was submitted, and Roger's people read that, and everything was accepted. Well, when he backed out of it, he said that was because why he backed out, because that variance was.
Gotcha. So that's what, I mean, for you being able to move forward, that's why I think getting this one done right here, then that way over here, like I said, as long as there's not, because this is all pre-existing, we wouldn't go in and say you have to shut this down and move this, you have to, but if there's somebody wanted to come and put another application, then something would have to happen over there. But that's something that you wouldn't have to worry about, because right here is the use that you're wanting to make sure that's done. If you create that 35 acre tract here and we get that approved, then even over here, somebody came and said, well, I want to purchase that, then you can tell them, well, you're going to have to go to the county first, and because you're going to have to do something.
Right.
Either a special use variance or use subdivision, any of those. But then at least this parcel right here, if you choose to keep it or to sell it, then you would be able to say, well, this one's done. 35 acres is a legal lot, and we have an approved variance for it. So no matter what, this will always be protected.
One of the plans, one of the old plans was, if I sold this and I want to keep this,
mm-hmm.
we're gonna buy this 40 acres over here.
Gotcha.
And then you just draw a line and
I mean, you could do that, but
I don't have this bought and the guy is dying that owns it and he don't want to sell it.
Well, that's what's not, because here you still have, because it's over 80 acres. I mean, you have where you can create a 35 acre. As long as it's a minimum of 35, you don't have to go through us. As soon as it drops below 35, then that's whenever you do have to go through a settlement, which you don't need to do, because you have the property, and that's the easiest thing.
Well, let's go with that process. I mean, the process that he's already done, it's been just wasted time because he didn't resubmit it, right?
So far, I mean, there's still stuff, and like on here, I know, so the comments, the last one that went out is that he was still awaiting confirmation of what the use is for.
See, that had nothing to do with me.
Right.
That's the problem. That's
well, I know.
But that's what pissed me off about him, because he was lying to me about stuff. Because when it was for the new guy buying it.
Right.
And the new guy started completely over.
Yeah. And so for us, though, when we look at it, and that's what I'm saying for you, the easiest thing is to create a 35 acre boundary around what you want.
Yeah.
Well, you have the land.
My concern is to be legal with the county.
That's my concern. That's your easiest thing, because if you, like this, if we create, or if you hire the surveyor and they create a 35 acre deposit plat that goes right in here, then you're gonna end up with a new parcel ID for
me. Land Genie will do that for me.
Okay.
I don't know what he'll do for me, but he's my surveyor, he's a friend.
So, yeah, what they do, it's not on here, but if there's a on their signature for the surveyor, there's two different, there's a recording statement and then there's a certificate of deposit. So they're depositing it, they're not recording, and that's, the surveyor should know, but if they send you down to go to the clerk and recorder, don't go there and say, I need to record this, say, I need to deposit this. It becomes a complete title, searchable, it's there, it's a deposit for that 35 acres. Again, the remaining balance is still gonna be there. You're gonna end up with two different parcel IDs because they always associate that, which is completely fine. So what'll end up happening is once that gets done, then we can still keep this project because one, you already paid for it, so
right.
There's no reason to close it out. But what I would have to do is under the parcels, I would update for your new parcel, and then we would have some new information as far as the site plan would be new at that time, because it wouldn't be indicating anything here. It would only be for this 35 acres.
Can I go across like this or anything like that?
You can do whatever you want.
I mean, I don't
know. It's 35 acres.
Wrong, that's 35 acres.
And the key that you want to make sure is don't get a whole lot of different uses, though.
No.
In incorporating
this. This is an empty pasture. This is an empty pasture.
And then if this is going to be in there, one thing that we would, because we review in those, but you'll want to make sure that on that exemption or that deposit, that this easement right here
is accepted.
That you have recorded that easement, because I know right now it's your property. But as soon as you make that two parcels, you'll have to get that access to this property. Or technically, it's you still.
What I'll probably do is go up to the easement, up to here, go across here, and go up here and see what it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely, I mean, you can do it as long as it's a minimum of 35, but if you decide, well, actually, I want to do all this, then make sure that all you have to do is just create
this is an easier way of doing the whole thing.
Yeah. I think so, because this will focus on this building.
Right.
It'll get you off the center.
Okay.
So that way we know that we're only going to associate the Corvette Center with that 35 acres. And then you can decide what's going to happen over here.
So I don't want to include any buildings.
You can, but that would, if it's an association with that use. So right now you're
that's horses. And I had to get a variance for horse boarding.
Yeah, because in that zoning, if it's your horses, then it's not. But if whenever you go into boarding of anything, then it becomes a...
Anytime you're doing something, they're charging somebody else.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. If you did that where you don't include, and you could, what I'm saying though is when you start adding a lot of different uses, then it becomes a bigger issue. So if you get this 35 acre to get the Corvette Center off center, so that way you can do that. And then we can take a little bit of time to figure out exactly what's going on with the rest of it, whether it be that you do intend to sell it and somebody's ready to buy, or again, you can still put that in there, and 2 uses may not be too bad. I mean, it's already there, so you can still make that argument, but you would be making the argument of the Corvette Center and you have a kennel, or not a kennel, or boarding for horses. So it's pretty much a commercial application. So there's those things that go into it. What I don't want to see you have to go through, because it becomes really difficult, is Corvette Center, boarding horses, all the different houses, because these right here are really what will end up impacting your application. Because
what we've done so far isn't even close to being completed if we went straight forward with what we're doing.
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to, once you get that done, once you decide on whichever one.
I'm listening to what you're saying, mm-hmm. and I like what you're saying, doing either this or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, if I want to stay doing what I'm doing, if I get this done, the horse boarding and the house rentals are not kosher.
Right, and so
that's got to get done too.
Eventually. I mean, it will have to, but what I'm saying is that this still allows for one of those applications per site. So it means that you're not trying, when you go through and you create a 35, 100% legal, even if you put these two on it, or if you do the Corvette Center, you're trying to follow the intent of the code. But the Corvette Center has been there, it was already approved, so you have this argument that, yeah, you know, we need to continue the variance of use for that one. Okay, now then we move over here. The issue is not going to be the boarding of the horses, because those are typically can be, let's see, I don't think that's a variance of use.
Because all this stuff that he's supposedly done for me is pretty much null and void, right?
Not all of it. I mean, there's still going to be a lot of it that's going to be in there that we'll be able to help.
We had to have a transportation survey for a variance for that, for people coming in off the ranch. We had a tremendous amount of stuff we had to do. And I got involved in it, but he was saying, I got time, I'll get it done. And the last I talked to him over a month ago, before this deal went sour, he says it was just a matter of them putting it up to the board and it being approved.
Yeah, that's where it wasn't that far. Came in because the last comment that went out from Lynn was that he was still trying to get clarification on the all of the houses and everything.
Because that's what this was.
That becomes a rule. That's where your biggest issue is coming from, is all of this right here. Because, like I said, in the previous variance of approval, it was only for family or employee housing. That was it. In association with the Corvette Center. So the new application that came in, it just said rental properties. Well, that becomes 100% a circumvention of the subdivision regulations. If that means that anybody can have 48 or 80 acres, throw out 15 houses, and then apply for a variance and just be able to rent out property.
I gotcha.
Instead of going to a subdivision where it's a lot more expensive, yeah. You have to do water and all that stuff.
Okay. Yeah.
That's what Lynn's issue was the actual houses. We do have things like RV parks and stuff like that, but that's why he was trying to get clarification of what certain stuff was. Let's see if we're getting this stables. So the thing with the stables, so that would be considered like a stables commercial.
Mm-hmm.
In the A5, so that's a special use. So now if we do take this and you go to a 35-acre tract, you create that, we do a variance of use on that one. Then right here, then what you're looking at is that can possibly be a special use, which would normally start administrative, and then be able to move forward on that one. So that would get that taken care of on additional track, but it would depend on what the extra stuff is. So you still have that many acres. So one thing that you can also think about, you have the variance of use, which I would recommend is getting done. Do the 35-acre track just for the Corvette Center. That way it's done, it's completed, you never have to worry about it again. Then, whenever we get done with that, then we can move forward. Okay, now what do we need to do here?
Well, something
else to satisfy.
Something just hit me in the head. Part of this is important because this I know how to make a living with this.
Right.
This I know how to lose money. Okay, for 2 years now, I have quit asking for more borders. I've quit having any kind of events because you're supposed to have a special use permit for every event. So I've quit having that, and I'm still paying big money taxes on this whole thing and big insurance on this whole thing just to comply with everything.
Right.
And that's what we were trying to do, is get this all done so we can go back and do an advance and stuff.
Gotcha.
Like that. So I can't even put an event on in there until I have some kind of deal.
Well,
I'm violating.
You can still do them at the same time, but by separating this one out to do the variance of use
right
here,
right,
then this can still be considered the administrative special use, but we still have to look at what any of these, because the stables out here would be in relation to it, so any of these out here, you can make that argument easily that all this is here. The biggest issues you're going to come into is the argument about the rental properties.
Right.
If they're for the employees, things like that, then you would be able to put that in.
A couple of places people work for me. Mm-hmm. The other ones don't, but they have their own horses, so it kind of fits with the whole thing. But the original guy, the first 10 years, Cy Rickles had it, from 84 through 95, everybody that lived here worked for him. He had 40-some employees. The German guy that bought it, he rented it out. And when I bought it with the assumption that everything was all kosher for doing that.
Right. And, I mean, it probably was
that when this variance got lapsed, that's when I found out all this other stuff. So then I ended up with a big mess. So I'm just trying to. I think your idea is wonderful. I don't have a problem with that. I just want to know, am I going to get shut down? I could be shut down because I'm violating.
If you don't follow through with, because right now technically with the county we don't have anything in our code that forces the cease and operation while they're applying. What that means is that we have contractors' equipment yards all over the place, and we can recommend it, but we don't have a requirement that cease until you get approval. And so we've oftentimes told that to the board that that's the case. If you're actively moving forward and we get this taken care of, if this can still run administratively, so what I was looking at here, farm ranch residents, so that's something that we've had to clarify. They're dwelling units occupied by persons principally employed at or engaged in the operation of a farm or ranch. Some of the issue that you come in is this right here isn't a farm or ranch because that's the commercial boarding. Now, if there were farming and ranching up here that had to do with you primarily, and then you have that's where those become employees because it's a minimum of 35 acres and you're zoned A5. So those become what we consider allowed under that code, but they would have to be the employees. That's why that variance of use in the last one that was done, they specifically say in their letter of intent, it's only for family or employees in association with the Corvette Center.
Right.
This application, that's what Lynn was having issues with, is it just said rental property. Well, rental property means that you can rent it to improve anybody to come out there. So it becomes a major,
which is what I assume that I could do.
Right, and that's where we have to get corrected. Yeah. So by doing, I mean, you can still push forward with one massive variance of use application but in that letter of intent, you're requesting the Corvette Center and what the actual use is, the commercial boarding, or commercial stable, and then the rental properties. Yeah. Like I said, these right here are easier arguments. The harder argument you have is just having rental property without going through a subdivision regulation on that.
Okay.
So, I mean, our subdivision, a minor sub up to four lots is $4,537, but you have to get water resources report, OWTS reports. There's a lot of, it's not difficult, but it is a lot bigger process that you're not going to be familiar with that you would definitely have to hire a company for. But by doing that, then one, if you had 35 acres here, 35 acres here, and the remaining balance, you had like a 10-acre tract, then you can even subdivide that maybe four or five lots to have those units, and then you would still be able to do your administrative special use here, your variance of use here. So then everything becomes in 100% conformance where you're not having to stay up at late at night figuring out what's going on.
Well, I have 18 stalls here.
Mm-hmm.
They were rented out before. I'm down to, at the end of this month, I have zero rentals in there.
Okay.
I have no outside people renting stalls in there, which is a lot of income for the ranch, and I'll pay for what's going on.
Yeah.
The only thing I have income coming for the ranch is the rental of the homes. And I got three of them empty right now because I'm afraid to rent.
So
I'm afraid county's going to come in and shut me down.
Well, we would send NOVs and stuff like that, but the thing that we get is that, one, we're complaint-based. So if somebody starts complaining is when we'd actually go out and investigate.
Yeah.
This one just got brought up because the variance of use here expired.
I know.
We haven't got any complaints on anything else. But so my thing is by doing 35 acres, right here to start with, leaving the rest of it, then you would get this approval here.
Also, do you need the survey for this?
It's your timeline.
Yes, no.
Have you got a letter from code enforcement?
No.
So, until the only thing that we can do right now for that is stop any applications.
Right.
I mean, we would just tell you that you're in illegal use. So you come in and you want to do, I don't care if it's a 10 by 10 add-on. If you wanted to put a storage facility right there that's 100 square foot, we would tell you, no, you have to go through this process. So getting that done, ASAP would be better for you.
Okay, well, so I can call Katie right today.
And then, so there, you have options though still. If you created this as a 35 acre tract,
okay,
minimum, then you can apply for that because it would be there, okay? Let's say you come in here and you do another 35 acres, okay? Then you do the administrative special use for that. Okay, now you have, because you have 85 acres here, you're gonna end up with 15.66 acres left over, right there, okay? We can't do anything on that 15.66 because now it's considered an illegal subdivision. Okay. So any applications, anything, nothing can be done on that 15.66 until you do a subdivision process.
Yeah, but say there's one house
gets this
right
done.
Here and one house here.
Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you can draw that line wherever. But what I'm saying is the remaining 15.66 acres that you wouldn't be able to do anything with, I mean, you'd be still able to rent them out because we don't, you would just, but we would tell you that you illegally created a subdivision to get any building permits or any use applications or anything like that. For those, you would have to go through the subdivision process. You're still A5, so you would technically be able to go up to $4,537. You can subdivide that into up to those four lots, and then you would be able to put your rental properties on different properties, and then you would actually have legal lots at that point to be able to move forward with.
So to move forward with this stuff, it's got to be properties got to be divided. If they're going to be rental homes or
if they're because this is these rental the homes that are not in association with a farm or ranch that are not in an association because you're still A5, so you're still allowed a primary house.
Right.
So even that one right there, you don't want to take off.
There's a primary house here.
Mm-hmm.
This property in 84 was bought from the Ward family.
Okay.
Several pieces. This greenhouse was built in 77 or 76.
Okay.
This brick house here, it's white now, it was a red brick house, and it was built in the 60s.
Okay.
This house back here was moved in later, but all the rest of these buildings were all built 84 and up.
Right. So what I'm saying is with an association, you're still allowed, because it's still A5, so even to kind of capture some of these houses, you would talk to your surveyor, and depending on where 35 acres goes, if that primary house is in association with this one, then you would be able to, it still has its primary with the variance of use for the corporate.
It's not dividing, it's more of a deposit thing.
Yeah, if it's 35 acres or greater.
But it's not separating the property.
Correct.
It's not making a separate tax.
No, it does. You're separate. You'd be the owner of each one, but each one would have its own parcel ID.
But I got to do 35 acres.
35 acres
plus.
That's the key. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. If you did 35 acres here and you apply for that variance use, 35 acres here to get your administrative special use, but the remainder, though, you're going to end up with about 15.66 acres.
Well, this whole thing is 85, of course.
Yeah.
Of course, down the middle. That's going to be 40 something. So 35, getting it separated out, is going to be kind of weird.
Well, we have weird lots all the time.
Okay.
But what I'm saying, if you have options, that I would talk to your surveyor, because if you do these both in there, we can still run through with a variance of use, and we would include the use of the boarding. Even though that could have been done like a special use, that's how we would write it, but then you could get both of those approved.
So
on that 35
acres, we could go right up to this edge and include this house, because
uh-huh.
that's the main house
yep.
of the property. So that could be included without a problem.
Because uh-huh. it's still A5, so you're allowed the primary structure. When you're doing that, make sure it meets the setbacks for A5. So you don't want to get too close on that property line where you create a nonconformity. So even like any structures that are in there,
it would go up, and then probably
just make sure
there's no structures here but the house.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is, commercial stables have certain setbacks, so you may end up having to go a little bit wider, and then kind of cut through to make sure that's not created, because you don't want to have to go through a board of adjustment just because of the line, especially right now when you're creating it. So there's, it's totally, yeah, it becomes easier to draw lines where everything meets.
Looking at it here, see, there's the house, mm-hmm. and there's the road. So we don't want to touch the road.
Yeah, you can touch it. What I'm saying, you can go, you can even incorporate it on it, but what you would have to do is if you created that, let's say you came on this side and you came over, you would, your survey could do it really easy. Is there easements, just access easements.
Oh.
You would just be recording it to allow this property to always have access.
Okay.
So even if you sold it, then they always have access to it, which means that if you sold this piece and that piece to two different people, that whoever owns that piece cannot deny that them access to their property.
Okay.
That's all it is. So they, that's a very easy process. Because they can draw the line wherever, but I just need to know when you do that, when you sit down with them, where you're going to draw it, because if it's going to be both of these, then that's what the application will refer, is only to these two buildings, these two uses, and we'll move forward with that variance to get in front of the board. It still might take maybe a review or two. So once you tell me, okay, this is what I'm doing, it's going to enroll me again like, just like this, I don't mind. But you'll say, okay, this is what I've got, this is what my exemption or my deposit plan looks like. So I've got that, then we'll know, okay, your letter of intent is going to show that you need to put in the Corvette Center and the stable or whichever, and then when you submit, we'll go through that review again, and then I'll be able to go through my checks, and then I'll be able to provide information at that point of, okay, make corrections to this, and then we should be able to get in that really good direction to get in front of a board that only indicates two uses, and then this right here, we would still indicate that at such time, before any future applications, the applicant knows and understands that there are processes for that, either going through a that variance review, special use, or the subdivision process for that property. But for right now, it's to get these uses done, so that way you're off a high center.
Right. The original, when I bought this 15 years ago, Louis Grassmeyer is the guy I bought it from.
Okay.
He carries me for part of it. And he hasn't been pressing me to get it sold, hurry up, or nothing like that. And just recently we've been talking about it. He's been sort of excited about it, then he was not. It's, you know, that kind of stuff. So I'm going to run all this stuff at him.
Okay. And I think for you too, one thing that whenever you talk to him, because if you're already saying that you're losing income here, that you're trying to get back, and that can help you with any thoughts about updating everything else. So obviously you need income to get all those applications going. So that would be what you could talk to him about, that if we do create this right here in its own track and we do put these two uses on and get this approval, then you can start, if it's approved, you can start bringing back the events and the boarding, so that way you start getting some income back from that while your guys are planning what to do here. Whether it be an RV park to rezone, whether it be subdividing that whole thing out, or whether it be going to its own variance of use for that. That will get this done and out of your hair, so you can get back to, if it's approved, get back to what you need to do on here while you're going through.
My brain is attached to this.
Yeah. That's the problem I'm having.
I can't handle all of this. Mm-hmm. I just can't handle it. And I've had people try to hire people, like I do stuff, and all they've done is just screw me over.
Well,
that's why I'm trying to make it as simple as
I
can.
Yeah, that's what I want to do for you too. I mean, if this is all you're concerned about for real right now,
yeah,
do the 35 acres minimum for that.
Okay.
And then we can worry about that at such time that it comes. Now, you still, like you said, you wouldn't be able to use this for boarding necessarily until you got that approval, but this will be done, and your headache will be over. That's going to be a lot simpler process because you're only requesting one variance of use. Your justification is it's been there. It was already previously approved. You thought that it was extended, and that's why you didn't get it before it was extended. That's why you didn't apply. But then your argument is that you had buyers and things fell through, and now we've got it situated that I've got 35 acres and I'm going to get this done, because that'll follow that 35 acres forever. The only time that will go away is if somebody ceases operation at the Corvette Center for 2 years longer, then it will expire.
It would expire.
If you, like, let's say you were going to sell it, and you closed down business, and it was on the market for 3 years before somebody bought it, they would have to come back in and reapply. They can't piggyback off of you.
Okay, nobody can piggyback what I have, what I'm doing. Anybody that comes in that buys a place.
No, they can't if you keep it as a Corvette Center.
Oh, okay, they continue.
And you sell it directly to somebody and they're using it for a Corvette Center,
and
they would be able to go right
in. Really, the variance is not just for Corvettes, it's for any automobile.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know what you, I just said the name of the project. So you would, and your letter of intent, you're doing the use of it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, we just say as long as, because if something happened to you,
somewhere,
company, or if you decided to move it, and it sat there for years, that somebody couldn't just come in there and pop up shop. They would have to go back through the same process that you're going through. But if you had everything set up and a buyer came in and said, I want to buy it as is, I'm ready to start my business, yeah, they would be able to continue that use. They don't have to come back through.
What I'm doing there as far as what's allowed to do, let's say I decided to do this here.
Uh-huh.
What I'm doing here, is this allowed to be used for storage?
In association with that one, it would be part of the variance of use.
Okay.
So if you got approved for here, you would just on your site of
the home. So this never became animal anymore, that it would be for storage.
Yeah, if it was for storage, we would be doing on your application and on your letter of intent, you would be showing, and your site plan, you'd be showing that this is storage and association, or it's just another maintenance bay.
Right.
So we have two buildings for working on cars,
or if I,
things like that. And so. But it would be the same use, but you would just have more than one building.
I know there's people that do, in part of this, you have cars on display, which is cars I sell,
mm-hmm.
which is part of that use. Could this be used for a display of cars?
So you'd have to...
Or you have to have a variance for that.
Well, you would be under the
special use.
No, it would be the same variance. In the variance of use that you're applying for right now, if you wanted to do that, you'd be saying that you have a... an area to work on cars. Then you also have you're proposing for an area vehicle sales area.
Okay.
And so that would be, you wouldn't go through two different variances. It would be one application.
Right.
But in your letter of intent, that's what you're requesting.
You need to list whatever potential that you would do.
Right. And so that way, when we go through the review, we're making sure all that stuff, when we get to your staff report to go to the boards, that we would put in there the exact request. Request is for a Corvette Center, or the name of the building. The Corvette Center is requesting for a automobile repair shop, an automobile sales area, and then the automobile sales use.
Would that include if you did trailer sales or anything like that?
It would need to include everything.
You need to list everything you potentially
that
use.
That isn't. But we have a classification for automobiles, automobile and trailer sales. So that's one use. So you don't have to, you would just put automobile and trailer sales.
Okay.
But remember at the beginning of this, that's what I was saying, the more different uses that you are associating
with. I'm not thinking anything different from automotive.
Right. And so I think that's where you would just add it into that overall question. And we just take it to make sure, okay, are you meeting the criteria? Where are we at? What needs to be fixed? Okay, we got all this, and then once everything gets to that point where okay, now we feel that we can't get any really better. So sometimes you might get a little frustrated because I might come back and say, you need to update this on your letter of intent. What I'm trying to get from out of you is the best application possible
to
go in front of the board. So I don't want you to get too frustrated, but my whole point is I want that to be as strong as can be.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I thought it was going to be denied, I would have already told you this is highly unlikely to be denied. But you've already had one before, so moving forward in that is to make sure that you have the strongest application to get in front of the board, so that when they look at it, they say, okay, they know exactly what the uses are, they know that it's compatible with the area. And before, if you come in and say that this is like 100 cars, they're going to be like, I don't know, why don't you just rezone that property? Then you've got to provide the justification to go through a rezoning versus the variance. So that's where some of the stuff that they're looking at. But if you provide that, okay, yeah, we work on cars here, we're going to turn this into a little indoor sort sales area where it's not going to be outdoors, so you don't see a bunch of cars. That's not, a lot of boards prefer hidden.
Yeah.
So that way it's not, people aren't driving down, you just see a car lot sitting out there. And so those become... have strong points, but.
15 years ago when I first came in, and I met with the planners, uh-huh. the 12 or 13 planners, and, well, there should be no problem. It's not a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then Bill got back that, oh, you got to have a variance.
Well, so this right here, because it's been there, based on the what's been there, the ongoing stuff, we haven't had any complaints or anything like that. So I'm not concerned about the use. We just had to get the variance done. My concern came with these right here.
Yeah.
Because that's when
I don't plan on having to do nothing with this.
Okay. So that's what I'm saying. If you split this into two right now, you incorporate this in 35 or 40, and then 45 or whatever, if you want to keep more, as long as the remaining balance is 35 acres or greater.
Okay.
So the remaining balance, that's what you have to remember. So you've got 85.66 acres right now. So if you cut off 35 and they created that boundary just for those around there, as long as you kept the rest of it, then we can apply for all that stuff under one application. You got one primary house. I don't care if that's even in there, if that's still associated with all these, and you still want to be able to do your commercial stable, then in your letter of intent, you'd be requested.
So I can do, when I do the initial one for the 40 or 35 or whatever, mm-hmm. I can do the variance for the Corvette Center and the variance for the...
Yeah, you just be requesting those uses. You'd say mechanic, auto body repair shop, a commercial stable. These are my requests. These are my justifications for it. You would even go as far as still some uses or public events, you know.
I see the hitches. Okay. Right there is an apartment.
Okay.
Right there is an apartment.
Yeah.
Right there is five bedroom apartment.
Okay.
And underneath of the White House, there's apartment for, you know.
That right there, not concerned.
That's
about
not a concern. Yeah.
That's part of the house. These right here, you'd be providing just like the last one that they're if they're employees of the commercial stable. That's argument, and honestly, we don't. We only take the face value of it. So if you tell us that it's employee housing, and it gets approved that way,
yeah.
Outside of that, unless there's a complaint that comes up that says that person doesn't live there, we have to go out and try to investigate, which makes it pretty hard to say, do you actually work here or not? But typically, you're not going to get those kind of complaints. But that could be where in your application that you have a commercial stable. These apartments are for employees only associated with the stable. You have your primary structure right there, and then you have the use, the variance of use for the auto repair shop.
What's your code guy's name?
We've got a couple. I've got Drew, Michael.
I know Drew.
Okay.
And Drew got called out there. A lady was living in this single wide over here
okay.
from Texas and complained about the mice.
Oh, so.
And the smell of horse poop.
Okay.
And he had to investigate it. He came out laughing.
That's
brought all this, you know, brought this to a head. Mm-hmm. I'd already been working on the variance.
Yeah.
And he calls me about every couple, 3 months to see how it's coming. Well, the last time I called him, I said, everything's submitted, all everything's in place, we're just waiting for approval. But it never got that far.
Yeah. That last one, that's where we were. I would talk to your sir. I mean, we can still move forward as the project is.
Let's keep moving forward. I'll get a hold of my survey guy.
Well, what I'm saying,
I'll get a hold of my Austrian guy.
Because what, at the request of Ron, is that any of these, I'm going to end up sending your name is still, your email is there. But because he, at his request, it's really kind of between you guys, he thought he deleted this. But you can't because it's public information. Once it's submitted,
right.
But I will have to request all this information again. Maybe not the traffic impact study because that would have been done by an engineer. But like anything in here that he just requests that his name be pulled off of everything.
This is this is the traffic impact study from that's copy.
Yeah, it's just okay. So. Most of the time, it's
on file.
Yeah, it's right here.
And
that's
what I paid for.
Yeah. So this right here, like the application, I'll send this, because this will be a request for, back to you, because it still has his name on it. So stuff like that, the easy stuff that you would have to, but...
Let's move ahead with all that stuff.
Well, I need to, we're trying to do this with your surveyor, because if it's, if you guys do move forward with the 35 acres, just for that or whatever, then I, because I have to reassess or reassign the parcel ID.
Okay.
So you, when you get done talking with your surveyor...
Well, I know we gotta do it.
I mean, but that's my biggest recommendation right now, is to split this off, because it's gonna be really hard to, like this request right here, it's a variance for the Corvette. Variance for commercial settlement on arena use, and variance for 13 residential properties currently on there. That right there is a red flag for any board, is this right here, residential. Because that automatically looks like a circumvention of the code for the subdivision. So that's what I'm saying, once you figure out from them as far as, okay, well, yeah, we're just gonna do this.
And there's not 13 residential properties, but this is the White House,
mm-hmm.
That's the main house.
Right.
And the people that are in it work for me.
Okay.
They take care of all the horse board and stuff. This is the greenhouse, that's a rental.
Uh-huh.
They have horses that are there, so they kind of take care of their area. The main house, tree, that's where I live.
Okay.
This little house back here. This one is too big for it, it's got 5 bedrooms in it. These are indoor round pens, so there's 2 of those. So those are not big, nobody lives in them. The bunkhouse has 5 bedrooms in it. So this is really not to do with the rental, but there's 10 residences there.
Well, so
and that's what that is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So either way, even if 10, really at this point, it doesn't matter. Going this route, what I need to know when you actually get it created with your surveyor is that you've got, if you do decide to isolate 40, let's say you just cut it down almost down the middle, and it's that way your house is included, then you would be saying, okay, we're applying for a variance of use for the Corvette Center, the use for a commercial stable, and then we have housing for employees that work here. Now, if this one isn't associated with employees, you're gonna have to provide that argument of why that one's there, which is any time that you have a residence that's not associated with the use, it becomes really hard, because if that's where that circumvention of the subdivision regulations come in, that, well, okay, why do you have people living there versus applying for a special use? 5 different apartments in there, and that looks like multifamily, so that's gonna be, that'll be a really difficult one for that to go through. He has it as a small indoor arena, but it looks like 5 apartments is what you said on that one.
Yeah.
So he just has it as a small indoor arena, but those are...
No, that's another... This is a building right here that's... We call it, for lack of better words, a bunkhouse. And it was a bunkhouse that they hauled it from Fort Carson back in 84 for people to live in that was working there.
Mm-hmm.
This is just arenas, a small arena and some stalls.
Okay.
So that would probably be part of, want to be part of that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I thought you said they had 5 apartments in there.
I meant this one right here.
Oh, okay. So yeah, if this has got 5, if this is just the stalls, then that would be an association with that one. So that's where your boundary line would go. But you would be providing the argument that these two and this one, that they all work in an association with the commercial stable use.
So,
and then that this is your primary.
So what I'm trying to understand, you're telling me nicely that to try to go forward with this whole mm-hmm. project, it would probably be a big problem, be kind of a failure.
If you're going to keep those in, because there are so many different uses on this property, to get it cleaned up is what we're trying to do. Not only get it cleaned up, but we're trying to get you to where you're one off center, so that way we're moving forward. Is getting the, you have 85 acres, so you can create, as long as the remaining balance is 35. Then we have to look at, okay, if this is your boundary, what all uses are inside there? So So it looks like if it's going here, you have a use for the Corvette Center, you have your primary house, so that's still good, that's still allowed in the APOD. And then you have the commercial stables, and then you have associated employees with that commercial stable.
Okay.
So that allows you to get, that'll have a new parcel ID, new boundary, new legal, everything. Then we would be able to move forward with that application at that time. Moving forward right now is not going to do you any good because I need to have that.
It's probably going to fail.
Yeah. Because these, that 13 properties, or the up to whatever, the all these over here. So if we get this approved right here, then the remaining balance that's over there, we just couldn't, we wouldn't go out there and we would still say, okay, well, you have to come in conformance, you have to do this, but we just wouldn't be able to allow any new permits for that until you did.
Right.
So we don't, we wouldn't go out and say, well, you're, this is illegal, you have to go through this, or you have to tear it down, you have to move out. We would say, okay, we're not going to grant any more applications. Once you figure out what you want to do over here, whether if you sell it to somebody and you say, okay, this is your problem now, you have to go to the county because you have to get zoning corrected, you have to get a variance, or that person will, but at least you're done here. And then we have everything approved, we have site plans, we have all that stuff, you have new legals, and then that becomes another issue. Now, if within a year, if you're like, okay, yeah, actually, we're making some money up now, we got the commercial stable back up and going, maybe put an RV park right here. Then you and I would meet, we'd have to do a new EA at that time, the 427, but then we would need to go over the requirements for the remaining balance, whether that be a subdivision, whether it be rezoning, whether it be any of that number, but we can take care of that at that time. We don't need to associate that with all of this right now. Let's get this cleaned up.
The smart thing to do, one-on-one between us, is to get this done this way. That's the smart thing to do.
I would
try to do the whole thing and finish up what we started. Is not going to work.
Yeah, because right now, like I said,
our residential properties is killing us.
Yeah, because that's the one that the board are going to look at is, why are you not subdividing that? If you have that many residential properties on a parcel, why are you not going through the subdivision process and creating a one, two, just by looking at this, I know there's less than 13, but looking at this, technically 15 different lots. Why are you not going through that process to create those? Why are you not doing a rezone?
Scratching that off of there and trying to do the whole thing is not a smart thing because it's going to...
Yeah, it becomes for a very hard staff report for us to get to a board because, again, they're going to go back and say, we don't ever do this many properties under one variance,
right.
Or the residential properties. So it becomes a very big obstacle, not only for you to provide that justification.
And it is required to have a variance for those for us to move forward.
And down the line, yeah, those before we can do, if right now you could know, you split this down the middle.
Because there'd be only, there'd be one, two, three, four, five, in this half of property.
Anytime, because in A5, you're still allowed to have one primary and one guest house.
Right.
So anything outside of that, then you'd have to do a variance of use. But we only do variance of use for like second dwellings. So that means that you have one additional dwelling, you have your primary, and then you still have the guest house. Mm-hmm. Going into five, that still becomes a bit of an issue because you're providing why? What's the thing? Yeah. So we have different, like I said, we have different uses. We have recreation camps, things like that, but this doesn't look like the right because these are all permanent structures. They didn't know
they're double wide and single.
Well, they
should be burned down, really. Honestly.
Well, if all that was gone and that was the only primary and maybe one guest house, then that becomes worth a lot. That there's nothing wrong with that one at
right.
that time. So you have a lot of different things that you can do. So I would start there, but you need to get with your surveyor. Talk with them about what you want to do first. If you're going to just incorporate 35 acres,
well, I'm going to get a hold of Lewis.
There.
I'm going to get a hold of Lewis in Austria.
Okay.
He's coming to visit me October 10th
okay.
to the 20th. Is that soon enough to talk one on one?
Yeah, that's I'm not. Rich is going to sit there. This project. I'm not going to do anything with it. I'll talk to Drew and let him know that you and I met today, and that you are. We're trying to get you on a path to get everything corrected. You do need to talk with them. I would definitely say probably by December, December 1st.
I'll have the survey figured out real suddenly.
Okay. That's what I'm saying. As long as by December 1st, if we have some kind of direction, so I know what I'm doing. Because it will take, it may take the assessor about a week or two when you deposit it to update their records, to show the new partial ID. So I'll need that partial ID, and then I'll just need you an email from you, because as the owner, saying, this is what I'm doing. I only want to associate this 35 acres right now with the Corvette Center. Can we? And then I'll change a lot of this stuff, and then you'll just have to resubmit that application and everything for that. And then you should be able to move forward a lot quicker than.
Well, I've had some health issues recently, and my wife is anxious for me to get out of this whole thing. If I decided to shut this completely down here, then what is my next?
If you shut this completely down here, then that becomes an accessory to the A5, an accessory structure. But everything would have to.
And it can be used for a
barn
or whatever.
Yeah. Then, if you shut this completely down and you actually wanted to start up this commercial stable with the events and everything, but that was going to be an accessory to that storage, more barns, more stables, then we could go through. I would still do your 35 acres there, and then we could do an administrative special use for your commercial stable, which that timeline speeds up quite a bit. Doesn't involve public hearing. Still involves
the. Is that the home? We said that the home shit.
Well, that's what I'm saying. If you split the property and you have two, it's 85 acres, you split it in half, and then that's over there. We don't care about that right now, because that's on a different parcel that's not going to be associated with this. That can be done at any time, and then you can go through and then figure out, okay, yeah, I'm going to get rid of these. You guys have to move out. One primary structure, you have a guest house, and that becomes 100% legal.
What I'm doing in here as a business that brings public in and out of here is what the variance is for.
Correct.
But this building was a workshop for the ranch, for the tractors and stuff. That's an accessory building.
Right, so this is a true ranch where you weren't doing commercial. So let's say you were raising horses down here,
right.
You were breeding horses,
right.
Training horses, this is training ground. That becomes a ranch.
Right.
That becomes, and if this is an association with it, you can have ranch housing, everything out there becomes legal.
Well, when we did this,
it has to be a ranch, and so that's where the commercial stable comes in, and then that's where that is a commercial use, and it's the commercial nature of everything that's triggering from the A5 for the variance of use. We do allow for commercial stables in the A35 as a special use in the A5, which means that a special use is just saying that we think that it's okay in that area, but there's going to be just a slightly different standard.
But,
if
I do an event in there, then I invite advertise and invite public in, I should have a special use permit.
Well, that's what the
you have to apply for that, don't you, separately for each event?
Not for each. What ends up happening, you might have to do something through for like a major event. What we end up is like advertisement. We have where all of the advertisement and then your commercial stable would be in one. So we would be aware that you do occasionally hold.
So I think what I have to do is I'm going to get a variance for this, and I'm going to have to do the reporting thing with this, because that's going to have to be public.
That's what might, because you have so many, there's a lot of stuff going on that creating this 35 acres.
And the apartments can't be rented out, they got to be for people that are working there.
Unless you go through that variance, but that's what I'm saying.
That's another headache.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. I mean,
I'm trying to keep it simple.
And what I'm telling you is that we take it from face value. So if you put it on your application, in all honesty, if you put it on your application that these are only for employees, then we hold you to that. But we're only complaint based. So
I understand.
If somebody over here says, well, no, that person doesn't actually work there, we only would know that until they contacted the county and said, they don't actually work here. We would go out, we would have to find a way to verify that they don't. If we found out that they don't, then we would let you know that, hey, that person can't live there. It has to be an employee. Either you would provide documentation and say, no, here's a pay stub, they are an employee. Oh, okay, thanks, we're done. Or you would say, okay, you have to move out and make sure that an employee for the grounds is actually living there. Because as long as it's an association with that, and it's part of the actual application, so you would still be asking for a special use for the commercial stable, but then you'd also be asking for those additional caretakers units, so to speak, that the caretaker or the ranch hands are able to. If it's all one big ranch, that's where they would allow. They could be there as ranch hands, but that means that there is no commercial nature and you're not It's not for outside, only you breeding, raising, all that stuff, and then you would be able to, obviously you'd sell the horses, but somebody could bring their horses there to board. It would be your ranch, and then you could have ranch housing around there, because you have the acreage, and it's not agricultural and all that, so.
Well, it's a pain in the butt.
But that's why I've been looking at it, and I know Larry was trying to figure out some stuff, but I think doing at least that first 35, let's get that one done, get the Corvette Center done, get that off the table. Once that's off the table, then we can sit down again and say, okay, what's the next step? So I think if we get one, that huge chunk done, then we can kind of start seeing how things are going to come into a little more focus to clear up the rest of that property, the different uses. And I know it's there's a lot of different things going on. But I think this will be the easiest way to clear it up is get that big chunk done.
I think
deal it out of the way, and then that way we know the next application, once we get this done, then it would be a new EA at that time because I'm going to have to go and
start all of it.
Well,
sort of.
Sort of, yeah. You know, at least the traffic memo is done, so you have a lot of documentation,
yeah.
And you'll be able to piggyback off a lot of it, but we would have to meet again, so it would be a new EA, it would be a new fee to say, okay, now this is, we're done here, now we're going this way. So that way we can sit down again, and then you would have a different EA for that, then it would track for you, and also really good for potential buyers that they can look up and say, okay, here's the EA that it did for that variance of use, oh, it was approved, and there's the application. Okay, here's the commercial stable, here's all the information for that, everything is out in the open, there's nothing hidden, so any potential buyer can go in there and say, oh, okay, there's, he's not hiding anything, it's all right here, and they've been working on this and trying to get it going. So I think it'll save you a long time to get this 35 acre, get that variance of use, and then we can take the next step after that. And again, I'll talk to you a little bit, but we're working on it. So as long as you're staying in some respect, then they don't continue to work or push it to, because we try to avoid.
Well, he's welcome to come up and check on me anytime.
Yeah,
I enjoy visiting with him. He's a cool guy.
Normally, that's what they do. We try to keep it out of the attorney because they're backed up anyway. But like, if all of a sudden you just fell off and you didn't talk to me for a year, and I sent emails and calls, and you were just thin, that's whatever.
Well, I appreciate you getting a hold of me to contact me. Like,
yeah, it kind of caught me off guard with Ron. I know he was probably frustrated with the process, but. I do think that we can get this nailed in the butt pretty quick if we get that, at least the Corvette Center done, so that way that becomes official and done, and then we can move forward with the rest of the problem.
Cool.
All right.
Thank you,
sir.
Thank you.
The other question is,
are you having